Sign up to tote.ie today and place your first bet. If it loses, we'll refund your stake in cash up to €20. And don't forget, by betting directly with us online, you get a 10% bonus on your winnings on horse race markets with Tote Plus. Come get the gravy, only with tote.ie.
Welcome to a bonus edition of the Final Furlong podcast as we look at day one of Galway in the company of Danny Mullins, brilliant jockey who unfortunately is currently sidelined. Let's not dwell on that too much as he plays through the pain. And of course, top journalist and more importantly, top bettor, Rory De Largy. So the lads have got three races that we're going to talk about on day one. So we wanted to get this out for you in time on the Monday. Also, come back because James Savage and Tom Bull will be joining me to preview Goodwood. And we'll get more from Danny and from Rory as we look at all of the feature races at the Galway Festival, including feature of the entire meeting, the Tote Galway Plate. So without any further ado, let's begin with the feature race on day one, the Connacht Hotel Handicap. Just the 17 in here, I think, for Willie. Be interesting to hear what Danny has to say. Market is currently headed by Favros, Zafayin, Exchange Rate, and the horse that I fancy, My Sister Sarah. They're all very, very tightly connected there. I really like My Sister Sarah here. Galway will suit her better than Listowel. She beat Coventry last time out, who connections think quite a lot of, and the Codfather has been booked for Willie Mullins, who's got an outstanding record in the race. I think she's very, very solid, and it's not really going to matter over 2 mile one, but coming out of stall three, that will be an advantage. Danny, your thoughts on My Sister Sarah, and who are you going to be siding with?
Yeah, I think My Sister Sarah definitely has a decent chance in it. She done well to win the last day in Listowel. Probably looked like she was going to be beat for most of the race. Just got up on the line, and I think Galway will suit her an awful lot better. Like, it was yielding ground in Listowel, but Galway with the stiff finish will definitely play to her strength an awful lot more. I'd ridden her in Killarney on a flat track as well, and she was just outpaced all the way around there. But she has the draw, you know, Jamie Codd, good jockey booking. It's probably a little bit short for me. The interesting one in the race, I think, could be Exchange Rate. Had a good run in Listowel, actually, behind My Sister Sarah, but hadn't run since November 18 before that. So it was, what, best part of 2.5 years off the track. And, you know, I think if he can improve from that run in Listowel, Jody Townend booked, she knows how to win the race and has previous Galway form. He won a flat maiden with Patrick there back in 17 as well. And I think that would be the one I might be siding with. I suppose it's not a negative that Patrick doesn't ride it. He wouldn't do the weight. And Jody takes a valuable 5 off as well. So I think there's plenty to like about Exchange Rate. There's so many you could make a case for. Zafanian of Dennis Hogan's, I think, is potentially unexposed. He hasn't ran on the flat since leaving France and was a decent hurdler through the winter. You know, finished that off with a solid 4th and a Grade 1 at the Punchestown Festival. So, you know, he's another one in there. But it's typically competitive handicap.
Rory, for you?
I'd give a fair chance to run for Mary here. She's off the same mark as when second in the race last year. She was beaten by, she was giving weight to Princess Zoe last year. And despite that, she actually gets in here off the same mark. And that despite winning last time out beating No Thanks. I quite fancy No Thanks to win earlier in the card as well. He's been second in his last three starts, running really well both times. And he was only touched off by Ron Fromery at Limerick. But I thought she had a little bit in hand over the same trip as tonight. This, an extended 2 miles clearly suits her very well. She came into the meeting last year off the back of a win at Bellevue over the same trip as well. So, you know, Cathal Burns clearly has her prime for this. She runs, of course, in the Solvit colours that's on the Burns family so well. And if she improves at all for Cheek Piece, she wears Cheek Piece for the first time, I think she's got a great chance. Now, she's drawn a Sol 21, but as I pointed out earlier, that hasn't stopped horses going very close in this race in the last couple of years. Again, you know, Philip Burns needs to avoid the trouble spots, but you know, he's got more experience than he had a year ago when he rode her to finish second. So he knows his way around. He knows what's required in this race. And you know, although she seemed to be drawn better on paper last year, she's again going to be coming from off the pace. I don't think Stall 21 is necessarily a massive negative for her.
I think the stalls, the draw on the flat in Galway over 7 furlongs is probably the one you don't want a high number. You're getting up to the mile and the mile and a half and the 2 mile, it's less of a factor. Those 7 furlong races are the ones where you need a good draw.
Yep.
The rest, it's nice to have a good draw, but it's not a game changer, I think.
You are really goosed in those 7 furlong and mile races.
Again, I was talking about the draw in recent races, just taking out the one that I hadn't looked at, 2016 race. First, second, third, fourth, and fifth were drawn 14, 15, 16, 17, and 18. It's clearly not a massive negative to be drawn high here. As long as, you know, as is always the case with the draw, often the biggest problem with winning from a certain draw is the belief that you can't win in the first place.
Yeah.
So jockeys or trainers say, oh, we've got a terrible draw here. You're going to have to take a pull and get across to the rail. And taking a pull and getting across to the rail puts you in the worst position you could possibly be in, as a general rule.
Mm-hmm.
You know, every once in a thousand times you get lucky and you get a run up the inside rail, but how often does that happen from right at the back? So it's
fine, you know, if you end up in that position where you're over on the rail because of a very strong pace and
yes,
the horses are going to be coming back, but to take back and put yourself in that position, you're probably taken back because the pace is not strong in the first half mile.
No.
And then there's just too much traffic.
Very fair shout.
On this, the amateur handicap as well.
Yeah.
One at a bigger price that I like is...
Oh, we love bigger prices. Come on.
The name escapes me.
Derek
O'Connor, Noel Mead. Like, Derek, 18 to 1, I'm looking at here. I'm not sure what's your odds checker.
Yeah, 18s with a number of firms.
Only beaten 2 lengths by Princess Zoe in it last year. And, you know, he's had his few runs over jumps. He's a horse that I've watched. I actually fancied him in a few of those good chases and hurdles. And he never seems to jump well. I think jumping lets him down so much for the ability that the horse has. And the fact that he ran such a good race around there last year, I would be giving him a big chance in it.
Yeah, that's not a bad shout at all.
Maybe the each way bet in the race. There's of the fancied ones we spoke about, you could probably realistically give 3 or 4 of them a chance of winning, but he's the only one I'm finding at a bigger price.
That actually interests you.
Yeah.
And first time cheek pieces as well.
Oh. Yes.
18 to 1, but the name escapes me. An old favourite of the Final Furlong podcasts. I'm pretty certain we at the very least have a combination trifecta there. Let's be bullish for day one of Galway. Rory, your second pick on day one comes in the 440. Give us the gravy. Who are you tipping?
A badly drawn horse on paper. My view in terms of the draw of this trip, you do generally want to be drawn low. Particularly if you've got a bit of speed. But it tends to be the middle runners who are really disadvantaged. Horses are drawn wide, looking to get across if they've got early speed. And as the horse is drawn in the middle, you tend to get squeezed a little bit going to the first bend. The most important thing, as I said, ideally you want a reasonably good low draw. But if you've got the speed to tack across, that can be a massive benefit. You're often better if you've got lots of early speed to be drawn wide than if you've got speed and you're drawn low, but the horse next to you cuts across you early on, or you just miss the break by a beat. You can't get away with that from the inside, but you can on the outside because you've still got clear space to run into. So I like the horse who's the most likely leader in this race. There only are 2 horses in this whole race who have led in recent starts at all. And those are Dakota, who is definitely worth considering Sheila Lavery's horse is well worth a second look at Galway generally, and she's run well in her last two starts to Dakota. The one I really like here, who I hope has been laid out for this meeting because it's been offered 109 days, is Rock Etoile. Now, Rock Etoile was a good winner at Dundalk in March and then ran the race of his life last time in a mile handicap at Goring in April. He was badly drawn on paper there as well. He came from a very wide stall, drawn to stall 15 or 16 that day. And he made most of the running and was caught just inside the final furlong by a horse called Visualization of Joseph O'Brien's. Visualization was giving him £10 that day. As you may be aware, Visualization was rated 79 in winning that handicap at Goring. He was beaten narrowly off a mark of 100 at Royal Ascot. So that puts the run into perspective. Rock Etoile was beaten by a 100 rated horse, even higher than 100. He finished second at Royal Ascot. You're ahead of your mark last time out. And he had horses who've run well since. Droop was third at a biggish prize, has run well since. White Pepper's run well. Lunar Space, who was sixth, has gone well off better marks since. So I thought Rock Etoile, who's gone up a few pounds for finishing second there, £2 to be precise for that run. I think that makes him really well handicapped. And the question is whether Andy Slattery has said, right lads, we've got something to bet on at Galway, this really well handicapped horse, or whether Rock Etoile has had a little bit of a setback since, which would be a concern. But I'm taking it as this is a really well handicapped horse. And if his next run is at the Galway Festival, that kind of suggests that the plan has been to put him away for Galway. And if that's the case, a mark of 71 definitely underestimates him. He's improved a lot recently. The Goring run was his first one in a while without a hood. He'd been free in his early races, hadn't really been getting home. And he'd run on a hood at Dundalk. When he got his head in front, eventually at Dundalk in March, Andy took the hood off him and he improved. For not wearing the hood, despite the fact that he saw loads of daylight at Goring, he settled really well in front and kept going to the end over that mile. He's run respectably over five furlongs before. I think he'd be absolutely fine dropping back to a stiff seven. And he's, to my eye, he's only really going to have Dakota to worry about in terms of getting the lead. I don't think he needs to dominate. I think he's had to go forward from the draw that he's been in to have a chance last time out. It's going to be similar here. So he's going to go forward. I think he'd happily take a lead, say, if Dakota wants to go on. But he's too well handicapped to ignore. I think he's thrown in here.
And on top of that, is being heavily backed. A sea of blue as a look at odds checker, right? Rory DeLargy with one drawn in the car park. Danny, you've also got a horse for us for day one. Drop the knowledge.
0-10 is in the amateur handicap later on. His favourite for it. And I think he'll take an awful lot of beating. Anyone who hasn't read the Racing Post on Sunday, Emmett has given him a very strong vote of confidence. He says, hopefully we can get him there in one piece and show people how good he is, because as far as I'm concerned, he's always been the most exciting horse I've had to train ability-wise. Hopefully he can show it on the track. He has a huge engine. Whoa. It's 2-1 at the moment. Patrick doesn't ride Willie's one and he rides for Emmett. I'd imagine that's going to go off odds on with that vote of confidence from Emmett, who would be wise enough to know. He wouldn't be one to just come out with a random statement. I thought that was very interesting that he said his ability-wise, he thinks he's the best horse he's trained.
Not something that's in Emmett's locker. You wouldn't just talk a horse up, and he certainly wouldn't talk a horse up unless he thinks the horse is absolutely going to do the talking on the track as well and back up his words. That being said, should point out that Galway has seen more than its fair share of high-profile favourites get duffed, including Alexandra Goldrun getting beaten in a nursery. She became a Group 1 superstar. A globe-trotting Group 1 superstar, for that matter, as well, for Jim Bulger. And she got beaten in a nursery. So anything can happen at Galway, but 0-10, definitely going in the patent. By the way, Matt Mullins didn't even talk to the racing post. That's Danny reading a message in his WhatsApp.
That's the family WhatsApp group. The
family WhatsApp group. Yeah.
Oh, Danny's on a percentage of the sales price.
It's Mark Johnston and Dark Vision all over again. God, and that was the week of Goodwood, actually, because he won the Vintage Stakes a couple of years ago. Wow, all traces back. Still to come, Galway podcast featuring the lads talking about the key races from the entire week. So that means the BMW Cullum Quinn Mile on the Tuesday, and of course, Guinness Galway Hurdle, and more importantly, the feature race of Galway, the Tote Galway Plates. Get the views of Rory and Danny in the full show. That's all to come. Hopefully, there is some gravy to be had. And join us as we preview Goodwood as well with the assistant trainer for Sir Michael Stout, the brilliant James Savage, and Racing TV's Tom Bull. Loads of content coming your way. We'll chat to you soon. The Final Furlong Podcast. Thanks for listening. Take care. God bless.
Sign up to tote.ie today and place your first bet. If it loses, we'll refund your stake and cash up to €20. And don't forget, by betting directly with us online, you get a 10% bonus on your winnings on horse race markets with Tote Plus. Come get the gravy. Only with tote.ie.